It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to the next room. It's always a good day when I wake up, give thanks, walk the neighborhood with my puppy, and I realize that I get to step into my studio. I love this cozy little space that my husband created for me years and years and years ago. It's just a beautiful spot, and my puppy is curled up down by my feet right now. I'm so excited to talk to this young man. I found John. His name's John Polo. I was on one of my various groups on Facebook. I'm on a whole bunch of them because I'm always looking for intriguing stories to bring onto the podcast. So I see this young man, and he's just so genuine. He's authentic. He's raw. He has pain. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to like track him down. So I loved what he was posting. I think I shared a couple things on the Next Room Facebook page. I find him. I find his John Polo page on Facebook, start following it, send him a message and said, John, I have a podcast. I would love to speak with you. He gets back to me immediately. He's like, love to come on the show, Jane. So John Polo is my guest today. He is a coach. He is an author. He is a speaker. He has written 3 books, Widowed, Rants, Raves, and Randoms, Widowed 2, Now I Live, and How to Date a Widow 101. Very sadly, John knows all of this firsthand because he lost his beautiful wife, Michelle, to cancer in 2016. John, this is heartbreaking, but welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here to have a dialogue with you today.
Well, I want to just say I'm so sorry for your loss. I mean, you're a young man. I mean, I was talking with a mutual friend of ours yesterday, and I said, you look like you're 16. you're a young man, and I'm so very sorry about Michelle. Can you tell me about your wife? Talk to me about her.
Yeah, so I'll give you a little bit of the backstory.
Please do.
So we met in high school. We actually grew up in the same town together, but then we both ended up moving away. We knew of each other, but didn't know each other. And when we both ended up moving away to different towns, we would both go back to that town, Elmwood Park, Illinois, and we would hang out with friends. Somehow, like, our circles kind of came together, so we became friends. We eventually started dating. We had a year together, fell in love, even though it was a high school romance, like we were in love. But we had a bad breakup after about a year. We lived about 2 hours apart at this time. So when we broke up, it was a bad breakup. We lived far apart. We lost all communication for about 7 years. And then one day I was, looking at my email, and I'll pop an email from her. And like, I had a panic attack because really, like, you push it to the side, or you push it deep down inside of you. But I always kind of loved her throughout the years. That never really went away. Went to my refrigerator, got some water, drank it really quick, collected myself, and checked my email from her. We communicated for about a year via email, text, and phone. Finally saw each other, and then kind of picked up where we left off. 2.5 years after that, she got horrible cancer, and she had it for 2.5 years before she passed. So Michelle passed in January of 2016, and she was 30 at the time, and I was 31.
Oh, man. Wow. That's just, it's just so difficult. I mean, it's just not, you don't think of, I mean, here I do a show about death and dying, but the natural order is not for a young person to go,
right.
You know, it's to live a nice long life. Okay. So you lose your beloved wife to cancer. How on earth did you pick yourself off? Like, how did you get to the point that you are now this coach, an author, and speaker, and you are really helping so many people right now that are widowed?
Right. So there was a lot more to our story that I don't necessarily talk about in public yet, that made her death even just a million times worse with everything that came along with it. And the ending of my first book talks about how I was planning on taking my own life.
Oh,
and
no.
Then at the last second kind of decided to stay and it was obviously the best decision I ever made. So a month after she passed, I was just going completely like stir crazy. I didn't have my wife anymore. I wasn't a caregiver anymore. All the other things that I don't talk about in public yet were happening behind the scenes. And I was really just bored on top of that. And a friend suggested, you know, why don't you start a blog? And I didn't really even know what a blog was at the time. It's like, what is that? Well, how do I do that? But I looked it up, I Googled it, and I started it the next day. And it was a blog to kind of talk about my grief. There was a matching Facebook page. And I was 31 at the time. And I don't think the world was used to a 31-year-old man talking that openly about pain. Right. So it kind of took off. It gained a lot of steam. At some point, maybe 14, 15 months in, I decided I wanted to go ahead and publish my first book. So I did that pretty quick. I wrote it pretty quick and I published it and I started doing some grief coaching. And I started finding some speaking gigs, and that has kind of evolved into where I'm at today as far as just overall coaching. I coach a lot of things, not just grief, but, you know, relationships and self-esteem and purpose and motivation and all that. So I really went from like being incredibly close to taking my own life to holding on, even though I had no hope at the moment. Like I held on in the hopes that I would one day find hope, to where I'm at today, which is helping other people through their struggles.
Man, that's just wow. I'm sitting here and I'm in a trance listening to you, that you were so despondent that you were considering ending your own life. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And for you to turn it around now and to help other people kind of rise up out of whatever they're going through, good for you. And I'm so happy that, you know, you decided to stick around, because now look, now, you know, you have this passion-driven purpose, correct?
Right. Absolutely. 100%. Like, I feel like there are other things that made me stay at the last second. There are things that kept me here, but I really do feel like my work is what kind of brought me back to life.
Right. So you do all kinds of coaching. It's johnpolocoaching.com. If you're wondering how to get a hold of John, or you want to just go read about him, his website's really clean. And I love that. I just like that vibe. You know, I don't like a busy website. So I was really taken with the simplicity of it. And you can, of course, connect with all the books there as well. I was reading some, you know, little teeny quotes from Widowed, Rants, Raves, and Randoms. And boy, did you strike a chord. People are flipping out about your book and your books, all three of them. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah, thank you. It's funny because now I'm, and not necessarily in a ha-ha way, but more in an ironic way. I'm 5.5 years out now, and sometimes I pick up the book because, like, maybe I want to look at a passage that I want to share on my Facebook account or something. And if I'm being honest, like, it feels like a million years ago, right? I feel like that book was, everything in it, like, is accurate and real and raw and authentic. But I do feel like that was kind of like me in my infant stage of being kind of like finding myself again, right? So it is an incredibly raw book. I mean, it was written from, you know, a couple months after she passed to a year after she passed. That's when, you know, most of the material was written. But I really designed the book in an odd way. You probably know this because you looked at it a little bit. So I had really bad ADD. And at the time, I had grief brain. So a lot of people who are grieving will tell you they don't really like to read anymore. They can't read anymore because they don't have the attention span. That was me. So I really designed the book for people with ADD or grief brain. And the other thing I really tried to do was I had a vision of someone sitting on an airplane and reading my book, and one page they'd be crying, and then they turn the page over, and on the next page they'd be laughing. So much so that the person sitting next to them on the airplane would think that they were crazy. So that's what I tried to accomplish in my book. It is serious and it's raw and it's authentic, but there's also pages where there's humor brought into it.
I love that. That's great. You know, when you can evoke great emotion in someone, regardless if it's sad or if it's mirth, you know, that's really cool. I love that. What about, you know, I mean, you told me a little bit about Michelle in the story and how she passed away. Can you share something uplifting and funny or just something that you smile about your wife?
Yeah, I actually, before I get to that, so I'll say one sad thing. Well, that will segue into that. What really began to kind of get me into a better place mentally, emotionally, spiritually, was when she was in hospice the last 10 days, I started writing her eulogy. And then I started writing a book about our full love story, which I haven't published yet.
Wow.
And it was through that writing of her eulogy and the beginning parts of full love story that I began to actually laugh again. I began to actually smile again because I began to relive how amazing she was and how amazing our life together was and how amazing our love together was. And in those moments, like, she once again became that person and wasn't just my wife who was dying in front of me, right? So, I mean, my wife had a really, really, really bad life, if I'm being honest. And I'm not going to get into the specifics here, but, like, it was incredibly difficult life, and you would have never, ever, ever known it. She was the most funny without trying to be funny, caring, kind, sweet person you've ever met. She would literally light up a room with her smile. So that is kind of like what I carry with me. I'll also carry with me, there's a piece, I think it's in my second book, where I write about how she didn't let her life and everything that she had been through, even the fact that she got this incredibly horrible cancer after finally finding happiness in her own life, she didn't let that turn her cold. So that is also something that I carry with me today. I don't let a world that can sometimes be cold, I don't let it turn me cold. And I have that kind of viewpoint because of her, because of what she taught me.
Wow. Man, good for you. You know, I mean, we touched on it earlier. You know, you started your blog in 2016, shortly after Michelle passed away. And you're right. You know, we don't expect men to be so vulnerable and to wear their heart on their sleeve and to share their pain with us. It's been forever, you know, hey, buck up, you know, men don't cry. You know, put your boots on and go make some money, you know, that kind of thing, where I think that we are starting to open up and allow men to have, you know, these emotions because it's healthy to have emotions. So I'm good for you for putting it all out there. I'm, you know, you had shared on your Facebook page a really cool post about all the different things about being a widow. And you know, I think it was like a list of 74. And I have a family member who was just recently widowed. And so she was like, yes to all of it times 74. You know, I mean, it was just really resonated with her. And I kept thinking about her when I was posting it. I'm like, this is really good. This is great practical information for people. So I just go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying thank you. I mean, so your point about like male vulnerability, you're right. Like we're not supposed to show that. Right. So one of the things I do, not by preaching, but just by trying to lead by example, is I show my vulnerability. And there's been times where that's backfired. I've got a lot of criticism over showing that type of thing on social media. Yeah. But it's worth it to me because it helps people. Right. And I also think when we show people our deep pain, what that does is, first of all, yes, it lets them know that they're not alone. But when they see us rise up from that and get to a better place, then they know that they have the ability to rise up and to get to a better place.
Mm. How'd you get so wise at such a young age?
I don't know. I'm not sure yet. There are things that I'm not too wise with, but we all have our talents, I think.
Yeah. Well, I like the authentic approach that you're taking. And I just have to say that, you know how you connect the dots, right? I just love how things kind of have a little bit of a magic vibe to them. And it's like, you know, I found you on Facebook and here we are having a conversation. And then yesterday I'm speaking to another woman that I just recently met, Susan Hannafin McNabb. And she said, oh my gosh, you're having John on the show. He's great. So, you know, because of what is it? It's called Soaring International.
So Soaring Spirits International is the organization. And then they have a conference, which they normally do about three times a year, called Camp Widow.
That's right.
And I've been lucky enough to speak there. This year will be my fifth time. So Susan is part of all that. And yeah, she's a friend. I love her. Yeah,
that's great. I really look forward to having her on and talking more about Camp Widow. I was like, Camp Widow? What the heck? Kind of like that sorority you never want to have to belong to, but how wonderful that there is this beautiful support group for those that are experiencing this kind of loss and pain.
Right. I talk about it with my clients a lot or in workshops. The first time I went to Camp Widow, I was 17 months out, and I was a speaker, and I won't get into all the details now because it would take too long, but that trip, and it was in San Diego, my happy place, that trip changed my life in so many different ways. So yeah, it's a great thing to go for those that can attend.
Yeah, that's really cool. Susan was saying that too, that she said at first she was like, oh, I don't, you know, Camp Widow. I don't know, you know, I don't like the name. It doesn't sound fun at all. And she said that she came away from it so completely uplifted and made so many great friends. And it was a really beautiful experience for her. So, and how fun for me. I mean, I love to be educated about things that I didn't even know existed. I'm always like, wow, this death and dying community is fascinating. So, John, I would love you and encourage you to get involved, too, with the Beautiful Dying Expo, which is coming up in November 12th, 13th and 14th. I think you would be awesome, you know, speaking or on a panel, or I just think it would be really wonderful. So we'll have to off mic. We'll get all connected with that as well.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. I would definitely love to get information about that.
Well, you're talking to the right woman. I'm on the advisory. Okay. I'm on the advisory council for the Beautiful Dying Expo. That. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Okay. So, John, let's talk about, you know, you pick yourself up and everything. Do you still, well, I know you still do. You have moments where you're like just down and sad. And how do you work through those at this point? Here it is years later, but, you know, what, 6 years now?
Yeah, 5.5, yep.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I mean, this is a general statement. I'm not saying it's true for every single, you know, grieving person. But I think generally speaking, like, once you are at a certain point, and I don't know what that is. For some people, it might be a year. For some people, it might be 6 years. Once you're at a certain point after your loss, I think that life circumstance has a lot to do with how deep your grief is. So I'm always going to love Michelle. I'm always going to miss Michelle. And in some form, I'm always going to grieve Michelle in some form. Okay. But life circumstance really does dictate what that grief looks like. When things are going well in my life at this point, 5.5 years out, I miss her, but it's more that like, oh, I miss you, babe. I wish you were here. When things aren't going well, if I'm dealing with some really hard stuff, life has me feeling depressed, it's more of that deep, intense pain that returns, where it's like, oh, I don't know how I can do this without you. Why did you leave me, type of thing? So, big believer that after a truly profound loss, grief doesn't fully end, but it changes, it evolves. My goodness, does it look different on me now than it did when she was sick or a year out or 2 years out or even 4 years out? But what my life looks like, whether or not I'm happy with my current life, really does impact the level of grief that I have and what that grief looks like. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. That's Thank you for articulating that. That was really quite good. Wow. Just amazing. You know, you rise up from the ashes and you are now here helping to guide other people. Let's talk about how to date a widow 101, because that grabbed my eye. That just makes me laugh. Talk to me about it. That's your third book. So you have Widowed, Rants, Raves, and Randoms, Widowed 2, Now I Live, and How to Date a Widow.
Right. So it's interesting because, like I said, when I started the coaching, like, it was basically just going to be grief coaching. I had so many people that would write me all the time. And eventually I was like, I can't help these people on Facebook Messenger. Like, let me actually offer a service for those that want to look into it, right?
Sure.
So I thought it was just going to be grief coaching. And then what I realized is, yes, it's grief coaching, but what do we do when somebody wants to date again? What do we do when somebody wants to look at rebuilding their self-esteem or their self-worth, or wants to look at their purpose, motivation, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I started doing a lot of dating coaching with my clients, and relationship coaching and career coaching and everything. It just transformed into overall what I guess you could call life coaching, although I don't particularly like using that for myself. So one day I knew I wanted to do a dating book. I didn't know what I wanted it to kind of look like. The title kind of throws people off a little bit. I don't regret the title at all. I like it. I think it's super catchy, but it throws people off a little bit because I'll often have widowed people be like, but what about me? Like, you know, you're saying how to date a widow. So I guess I'm giving that to like my boyfriend, but what about me? And I'm always like, no, it's for you first. It's for the widow people to read, the widow person to read first, whether they're just opening their mind up to dating or actually in a happy, committed relationship. It will help anybody on the either end. And then if, you know, assuming they like it, they can then pass it to the person they're dating. It really does kind of just simplify everything that the widowed person is going through as they're dating, how to best support them, how for the widowed person to kind of move forward in healthy ways. My writing is, I think, you know, it's authentic, it's raw, it's powerful, but it's also very simplistic because, you know, a lot of this, as complicated as it is very simplistic. So that's how I try to coach people as well.
I love it. Man, authentic, raw, powerful, but simplistic. Boy, you nailed it. That really is how you present yourself, and, you know, just following you. And I haven't read your books, but I will, just because I kind of just nicely found you. But I keep reading everything that you're posting, and I just knew, you know, you're reaching people. You are touching people where they need to be touched, and you are helping them by helping to be a guide. You know, yes, you had to go through this pain, but I think that we're always, you know, we all have maybe this divine purpose, right? And sometimes we have to go through deep sadness to kind of find it. Right. You know, it seems like the best love songs on the planet are coming from a place of pain. So, so good for you. John Polo is my guest today. JohnPoloCoaching.com. You can also find his Facebook page, John Polo on Facebook. Highly recommend it. And you don't have to be a widow to follow him. Believe me, I'm not a widow, and I'm definitely getting a lot of worth out of his Facebook page. His books are Widowed, Rants, Raves, and Randoms, Widowed 2, Now I Live, and How to Date a Widow 101. And I'll put links to all three of your books and to your website and everything in the show page. Is there anything that you would like to say that perhaps we haven't covered about what you have gone through, or something kind of like an insight that you have?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd like to sometimes end it with this. I have a lot of people who follow me on, you know, my social media. And as you said, a lot of people aren't widowed. Like, I've branched out. Now I do coaching for everyone. And I will often have people read something and they'll be like, you know, but I'm not there and I'll never get there. Right. They're coming from a place of having hope. And what I try to communicate to those individuals is that when I decided to stay here, I didn't have hope. Once again, like, I stayed here in the hopes that one day I would find hope, and that really, like, life can be beautiful again. Like, I genuinely like my life now. I will always miss Michelle, love Michelle, and in some form grieve Michelle. But I am genuinely happy despite all of that. So it's possible to rebuild. It's possible to enjoy life again. And it's completely normal to not believe me. If there's somebody listening to this, it's completely normal to not believe what I'm saying. If somebody told me this, you know, 6 months in, 16 months in, whatever it was, I wouldn't have believed them. But it can happen, and it happens for many of us.
I stayed in the hope to find hope.
Yep.
Boy, hope is a big one. You know, the name of the show is The Next Room. And, you know, I'm always curious about what people feel or think or maybe have dreamed about will be next for them once they have this very full, enriching life here. Do you have any thoughts on that you'd like to share? What's in the next room for John Polo?
As far as an afterlife?
Yes.
So I'm a very spiritual person. There's a page in my first book, long story short, Michelle and I were engaged a year before she got sick, and we were planning a wedding. But we went to the courthouse a few days before her first surgery and got married, just in case, you know, we wanted to be legally married before her first surgery, because it was such a big surgery. And the cancer came back. And when the cancer came back, we planned a real wedding, like an actual beautiful wedding ceremony in Chicago, et cetera. So she died a couple weeks before that wedding. So the page in my first book talks about how I want her to greet me when it's my time. And it talks about how I want her to have that wedding kind of ready for me. Wow. So I believe in an afterlife. I'm a spiritual person. I work with people who, you know, I don't care if you're religious, spiritual, atheist. Like, I work with everybody. I'm happy to do so. But that's my truth. And I think that she's going to greet me on the other side with that wedding, as I've requested. And then I think it's nothing but, you know, peace and joy and all of those amazing things.
That's nice. I just got like the, you know, the goosies. I love that. I love it. Well, John, you are just a very enlightening young man, and I am so fortunate that we found one another through the beauty of social media. We'll continue. I've got lots of contacts for you, and I look forward to speaking with you again, and hopefully you can join me either in my booth or on stage at the Beautiful Dying Expo coming up in November. John Polo is my guest. It is johnpolocoaching.com. There is a book page right on his website. If you want to go right through there, you can do that. I'll put links to the books as well. And is there anything anywhere else that you would like to connect with people, or should they just go to the website?
Yeah, if they go to the website, they can see everything. You know, they can see my workshops. They could see my live events. There's little buttons there for all the different social media I have. So, yep, that's their one-stop shop.
Fantastic. Thank you for turning your pain into hope and for helping other people, John. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to come on and talk. I appreciate it.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.